In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you were in church last Sunday, or listened to the sermon reading online, recording online, you will have heard Bishop Glasspool make a bet. A bet that last week's gospel reading, with all of its images of hands and feet being chopped off and eyes being torn out, was probably not going to make it into anyone's top 10 favorite scripture lists. Well, I'd like to make a bet, another bet, this week. And my bet is this, that if you polled people, not just here in St. Francis, but across the country, across the world, across denominations, and even polled people who were unchurched, weren't regular churchgoers, and asked them who their favorite saint was, then St. Francis would be in the top 10. And I think he'd probably make it into the top 3. Actually, you don't need to do any scientific polling. You can just do a little bit of a study. You can go into your local Lowe's or Home Depot, go into the gardening section, and look for the statues. And who do you see? Statues of St. Francis. Other saints? Not so much. And if there are other saints, well, St. Francis cleans up in the birdbath division. So, what is it about Francis that makes him not just popular amongst people who go to churches named after him, but amongst all kinds of churchgoers and large parts of the laity and the spiritual people, the doubters, the seekers, all like St. Francis? Even the hardest skeptics find solace in the prayer that we associate with him. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. And we take him on as the patron saint of not only animals, but peacemakers and ecologists. There's something about Francis that resonates, that remains not just relevant, but compelling in our modern times. And we should ask ourselves, well, what is it? What's going on? And what can we learn from this? Now, we look to the saints not just to venerate them, but to learn from them. Now, each All Saints Day, we profess that we are all saints. But if we accept, and I think that we do, that there's some kind of league table for saints, and some of them are more, shall we say, saintly than others, including ourselves, then maybe it's a good idea to look at some of them in the first division, in the Premier League, and see what we can learn. Now here's the problem. The problem is, if we look to the saints, the lives of the saints, especially the top tier saints, we look at their lives, and sometimes we have to look at their deaths as well, in the case of the martyrs, we find that they're kind of just too saintly to learn from. We say, I could never be like Saint so-and-so. And we throw up our hands in despair. We conclude that their lives are so far removed from our lives that we can't learn anything from them. But with St. Francis, it seems to be a little easier. To use a bit of modern jargon, St. Francis is kind of more relatable. And don't get me wrong, Francis did do some of the things straight out of the saint's handbook, right? He renounced all worldly goods. He was taken to bouts of rolling around naked in thorn bushes to chastise the flesh. He put ashes on his food so it wouldn't taste so good. But this aside, I still think we can relate to him. We see him, as we saw in that wonderful little skit, we see him walking around the Umbrian countryside, preaching to whoever and whatever came along, the animals and the birds, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with anyone. And I think that is something that we can relate to and perhaps even see ourselves doing. I think there's another factor that's attractive about St. Francis as we study his life, which is this. He didn't really seem to have all the answers, and he really did stumble around, as we saw in the skit, making it up as the day went along. Let's take an example from his life. As a young man, Francis, like many young men back in those days, dreamt of being a knight in shining armor, the kind of person that goes out and kills dragons and saves fair maidens from distress. And at some point, Francis tells of a dream. And in this dream, he is in a large room full of suits of armor and all the other knightly paraphernalia. And in this dream, as he's standing in this room, Jesus appears to him and says to Francis, "Francis, I want you to be my saint." Well, as it happened, St. Francis soon got his opportunity to become a knight. Francis, I want you to become a knight. Well, he soon got his opportunity. Assisi at the time was having yet another one of its wars with the nearby city of Perugia. And Francis's father, who was a wealthy cloth merchant, decided it would be a good thing and undoubtedly look good if Francis was sent to war decked out on a fine horse in a fine suit of armor, looking like a lord. Now, it was at this point that Francis probably got to thinking that when Jesus said, "Francis, I want you to be my knight," it probably wasn't all about going around killing Perugians. So what did he do? Well, this is at the point where most of us, again to use a modern term, would fall into a state of analysis by paralysis, or paralysis by analysis. We would start to try and think, what is the right thing? Capital R, capital T. What's the right thing that we should be doing? Or perhaps we would adopt that classic saintly move and take ourselves off to a mountaintop for a few weeks, or out into the desert for some meditation and prayer. But Francis doesn't do that. Francis is very human. Francis simply went to Perugia. But not before he'd found some poor nobleman who'd fallen on hard times, gave the nobleman his horse and his armor, and walked to Perugia on his own feet with no armor on. And of course he got captured and ransomed. But who knows what would have happened if he'd just gone and just been that knight and probably had been killed in battle. It's this improvisational aspect of Francis's life that I think is very attractive to us. We live in a world where we're supposed to have it all together. We're supposed to have all the answers, to be wise in everything we do and in every decision we make, in every word we utter. Yet we know that we can't, in our heart of hearts, meet that impossible standard. We can't be perfect. We can't be saintly all the time. And here in St. Francis, we have our guide. Forget the grand plan. Forget trying to be perfect. Just be alive in God's creation and celebrate and help the world and the people around us. With St. Francis as our guide, we should seek to see and feel God's grace in every moment, in every place, in every person. It's actually simple if we get over our tendency to overthink things. I found myself many times in my spiritual life saying to myself something like this. Now, if I could just understand, if I could just get this whole God thing sorted out in my head, if I could just work it out, I'd be a wise man. I'd be a better Christian. I'd have no trouble with my faith. But it doesn't work like that. The peace of God truly doth passeth all understanding. In today's gospel reading, which we specifically set aside for today, for St. Francis Day, Jesus says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and from the intelligent, and you have revealed them to infants. Perhaps we should set aside our vain attempts to be wise and intelligent, at least when it comes between us and our calling to do God's work in the world, and approach things with a little less hubris and a little more humility, a little less certainty, and a little more improvisation. St. Francis calls us to preach the gospel at all times. That should be our aim. Preach the gospel at all times. So here we are on St. Francis Day, in a church named after St. Francis. So what can we do today to make the world a better place? To step up to St. Francis's challenge to preach the gospel at all times. Well, for these past 3 weeks, we've been taking a look at ourselves here in the parish and looking at our past and our future. 3 weeks ago, we looked at our history. We drew up the timeline that's over there and celebrated the life and times of St. Francis Parish, from a mission outpost of St. Cross in Hermosa Beach to this great welcoming community that we have here today. 2 weeks ago, we looked at where we are today, what we're doing well, which is a lot, and where we may have challenges and opportunities. And last week, we looked to the future. What else should we be doing? What more can we do, both here in our community and out in the world and at large? How can we better love God, love others, and serve the world? Now, the truth is, we meant to get to the future question this week. But we all know one of the things about St. Francis as a parish is it's got its type A personality. So we got ahead of ourselves, and we've got all the questions answered. And Mother Paula and the vestry are very, very grateful for all this input. But we also have about 473 post-it notes still left. So we're going to do one more exercise this week, and I invite you to participate. This time it's personal. We want you to share two things. The first is, what are you grateful for at St. Francis, in your life, in the world? And secondly, we want to ask you, how will you share in God's generosity with others here and in the world and in the world outside of these walls? Today's gospel contains a very familiar passage. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Unlike last week, this is one of the most comforting passages in the whole of Scripture. God's generosity is always at work, and all we need to do is come to him through Jesus. So the question is, how have you experienced God's generosity? What are you grateful for? And then, how are you going to pay that forward? What else will you do today, tomorrow, this week, in the future, to better love God, love others, and serve the world? How will each of us preach the gospel at all times? Out there, in the world, once we've turned either left or right out of Via Rosa into Palos Verdes Boulevard. Write it down on a sticky note. It can be quite anonymous. And put it on the board and share with others. Let's commit to our gratefulness and generosity and servanthood in the name of St. Francis. I'll finish with a quick story. I think I may have told it before, but I think it bears telling again, and I think it's something that St. Francis could relate to. It's the story of a church where the building was set back from the road down a long driveway. One Sunday after the service, as people were leaving to go home, they noticed that someone had put up three signs along the side of the driveway. Just outside the parking lot at the beginning of the driveway was a sign that said, "Thank you for coming." Halfway down the drive was a second sign that said, "We hope to see you again." And at the end of the driveway, just at the junction with the public highway, was a third and final sign. And that sign said, "Remember, church begins here." Happy St. Francis Day. Amen.